Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's digital audio service. Thanks for tuning in. Today is the first Sunday in April, and today we're also entering Holy Week. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and all that comes with the story of Holy Week is ahead of us, and it all begins with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day we remember Jesus' entry to Jerusalem amidst the welcome of a crowd singing Hallelujah, which means He saves. The crowds welcomed Jesus that day, but were singing a very different tune by Friday. Humans can be fickle creatures, but God's not fickle. God is consistently kind and faithful. So even when we sing Hallelujah one day and shout Crucify Him the next, God's love for us doesn't change. Our hearts may change towards God, God's heart doesn't change toward us. I imagine our hearts are undergoing a lot of change these days. Will we trust God with our hearts today? Will we put our hearts, changeable as they are, into God's trustworthy hands? Welcome to Holy Week. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. Since our team is working remotely, this digital audio service has been recorded in segments, as we're taking the instructions from our government seriously. So though it might sound like we're up close to one another, we're actually quite far apart. And some parts of this service have been recorded at other times than others. So with that said, today you're going to hear from Ryan, Joanne, Ruben, Dave, and music from Rebecca, Michelle, and Ricky. I'll be sharing a sermon in our Splinter series entitled The Cross and Forgiveness, which is the second part of a two-part discussion on the topic. So welcome. We're so happy you've tuned in. And let's begin with a reading and a prayer from Ryan.
Thanks, Luke. It's wonderful to be able to gather as a community in this way. I will be reading Psalm 118, verses 1 through 7, and adding verses 28 and 29 at the end. Let's read Psalm 118 together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, His faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, His faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, His faithful love endures forever. In my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let me lead in a prayer to help us focus our hearts and minds on Jesus. Pray together with me. Jesus, your faithful love follows us wherever we go. Whether we are waking up, going about our daily routines, or getting ready for a good night's sleep, regardless, your faithful love is present. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those of us who would be experiencing fear, would be reminded that your faithful love endures forever. We pray that those of us who feel distressed would be reminded that your faithful love endures forever. Your love is for me. Yes, you, O Lord, are faithfully by our side. So we give thanks to you and we allow your voice to speak to our hearts. Your faithful love endures forever. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Thanks, Ricky, Michelle, and Rebecca. What a beautiful gift of music you've given to us today. I love how the scripture Ryan read was so beautifully expressed in the singing of this song, Raise a Hallelujah. Think back, Psalm 119 invites Israel and Judah and really all people to repeat and repeat and repeat true things. His love endures forever. Repeat it. The Lord is for me. Repeat it. The Lord will help me. Repeat it. Raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. How important it is for us to say things that are true, to sing things that are true, to share things that are true, and to testify to things that are true. Of course, while it takes faith to say and sing things with such great magnitude, I also believe our faith increases while we do. Singing and sharing truth puts a name on things that we sometimes forget to do, and sometimes because of our humanity, have a hard time to do. I love Psalm 18. I love when our Living Waters community is in a room together, whether at Yorkson Middle School or whether in Fort Langley, and we sing a hallelujah together. What a beautiful anthem that confesses the right things and certainly helps us shape the story in our head, and it certainly helps shape the testimony of our lives. Again, Psalm 118, we need to hear ourselves say this. Our families need to say this these days. Our neighbors need to hear this as well. God's love endures forever. The Lord is with us, and the Lord will help us. Yeah, one of the values of Living Waters Church is worship, and I'm so glad that it is. And certainly, I know I benefit, my family benefits, week after week of gathering in a room, a common room. We don't have that advantage today, but we certainly have the advantage of sharing the good practice of confessional worship through personal expression and also through prayer together. So I encourage you today to sing your own song. May your family sing your song. And even as we pray now, I invite you to, wherever you are, to free yourself of perhaps a distraction, and let's join together. For me, it'll be closing my eyes right now, and whatever that would be for you, let's create a sacred and special moment as we pray together as a community. God, we sense your presence today. We thank you for Psalm 118. We thank you for the songs that we sing together, because it says such good things and it builds us up in proper good ways. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your desire to help us. Thank you for being with us. We thank you for being accessible to us even right now as we pray together. Thank you for the hope that rises in our hearts, knowing that you have been with us, and certainly in the last few weeks, you've been so near to us. You've been so helpful. Thank you for the hope that we have for our tomorrow because of Psalm 118 and the fact that we will always have a good song to sing. We'll always have an opportunity to raise a hallelujah, even in the midst of our storms of life that we face. So today we pray that you'd help us in our unbelief. For anyone today who is listening, we pray for all of our faith, for that one who has wavering faith. May that become not the narrative in their life today. So for anyone who is doubting today, may you clarify truth, and may you lead them up on a good path towards good singing, towards good sharing, towards good praying. We pray for the sick amongst us. We pray for those who need divine provision, and we pray these days as we begin Holy Week and move towards Easter, we pray that ourselves included, but many would come to know you in a personal way. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.
We're going to take a few moments to talk about our church and community news, and joining me here from quite a far and strange distance, but a safe distance, is Joanne and Ruben. Welcome, you two.
Hi, Luke.
Thank you. It's a bit different being further away from Joanne while we do church news together, but I can still make fun of her British accent if I need to.
Thank you, Ruben.
Always encouraging. Ruben, we have an online church community page. Can you tell us about that and how we can get better connected online?
Yeah, for sure. As many of you know, we have moved online, and all of our networks and the different ministries in our church community have done a great job creating opportunities and spaces online, whether that's through Zoom or social media. and all of our information to connect in all of our different networks and through life groups and other ways are all right on our front page of our website. And you can find that under the LWC Community Online link. And it's definitely worth checking out.
And speaking of that, the Women's Network has been gathering online for the past couple of weeks, which has been really cool. We've had our daily encouragement Facebook postings, which have been greatly appreciated by many women. And then we've had our weekly Zoom calls. And the first one was attended by 53 women, and I got such great feedback from that. And so we're continuing those things moving forward. And as Ruben said, you can access all of that from that community online page. So yeah, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to what's to come.
Yeah, and as many of us also know, generosity is a value of ours here at Living Waters, and we want to continue to practice being generous in many ways. And we are not able to gather physically and have the option for people to give when we come together on a Sunday morning, but there are options to give online, and we want to just remind you of that. If you go to our website and look at the top right of our website, there's a button that says Give. And if you go to that page, it'll explain to you the many different ways that you can give online. And we actually just recently added the e-transfer option for you to do through your online banking. So it's not just a credit card option now. You can give through your online banking. And so make sure you check that out. And all the instructions are on there.
Our kids are gathering online increasingly, as is our youth network. So we do encourage you to take a look at our online community page. There's many connection points there. A couple things about our kids we want to let you know about that they're launching freshly this week. Our kids are doing Zoom hangouts every day at 4 p.m., April 7th to 11th. You can find more information online. Our family challenge is also live this week. This past week was a lip sync or a lip dub challenge. I'm a bit old. I don't understand what that is, but apparently it's a really good time. And our week 4 family challenge is available for you to find on our website as well. We're entering Holy Week. As we said, this is Palm Sunday, and there's lots of Holy Week resources that we're going to be making available for you. Good Friday, we're going to have a social live event where we will share communion together. Easter Sunday, of course, we'll have another social live event, and our LW kids are putting together a really cool Easter basket initiative for families to pick up in a safe and responsible way, and you're going to hear more about that this coming week. There's going to be lots of creative ways to connect online. We're also recording an entire reading of the Gospel of Mark, and you're going to be able to connect with that. So ideas are coming together for Holy Week as we try to find our way forward online, and we invite you to continue to stay connected to our website and through our social media to learn how you can be involved. But thanks for joining me, Joanne and Ruben. Really, really great to see you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for asking us here. And in the words of Joanne, being British and all, g'day, mate.
No, that's Australian. Ah.
We're going to continue now with our series called Splinters in part 2, where we're looking at the cross and forgiveness. Ephesians 5:2 says this, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." A few weeks ago, I was booked to officiate a wedding, but the COVID-19 crisis put the day in jeopardy. As rentals and public spaces shut down around the province, the couple had to adapt fast. Rather than canceling, they chose to host a small, intimate ceremony in a backyard. They asked, given the situation, if I was still willing to officiate, and I agreed, reminding them that Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John was at a wedding, when during the reception they ran out of wine. That was one kind of crisis, and this was another. And I can tell you that plenty of love and joy was bubbling up that afternoon, just like it always does when two people offer and pledge themselves to one another. At that big moment in the ceremony when I usually say, "You may now kiss the bride," I was very tempted to say, "You may now cease from social distancing." But as we're still in the season of Lent, I resisted that temptation. After all the scrambling, they were finally married. Nothing could stop love in the time of coronavirus. But a small shadow was cast on my own heart that afternoon. While planning on the fly, I was told to make sure I moved out of the way when the big kiss happened because, and I quote, "There's nothing worse than a pastor's face ruining a photo." Now, I know I'm no supermodel, and the request was a reasonable one. No harm was meant, but that comment stung a little. It might sound silly, but here I was, turning up, doing everything I could to help, and all someone was concerned about was that my ugly mug wouldn't ruin the photos. I responded with a slightly passive-aggressive joke, saying that many pastors would argue that there's nothing worse than a photographer's flash ruining a sacred moment. That comment leapt from my mouth like a plague frog out of Exodus. I'd been shoved, and ever so subtly, I shoved back. The saying goes that hurt people, and though we might like to reserve a label like hurt for those really damaged people, you know, the people other than us, the little nicks and cuts that we each carry all add up. Everyone has been hurt, and everyone has done some hurting. Forgiveness, then, both our need to receive it and our need to extend it, applies to all of us. If we don't learn how to forgive, the cycle of hurt will only ever continue. In our text today, St. Paul tells us two things. First, that we can learn how to forgive by following Jesus' example. And second, Paul reminds us of our own need of forgiveness. Let's hear Paul's words again. He says, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." According to Paul, learning to forgive begins with following the example of Christ. So let's talk about learning to forgive. This week marks the beginning of Holy Week, a week that depicts for us in startling clarity who God really is. God is the humble king, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. God is the foot-washing servant, even cleaning the mucky feet of his betrayer. God is the silent defendant, presenting no argument, spat upon, falsely accused. God is even the gracious crucifixion victim, letting his torturers off the hook while he hangs on nails. "Forgive them," says Jesus, through bloodied lips and clenched teeth. "They don't know what they're doing." The story goes that a Hebrew school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with a class of 5- and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor your father and mother, they asked the class if there was a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters. Without missing a beat, a girl in the front row shut up her hand and answered, "Thou shalt not kill." Jesus' life is an example which points us far beyond not simply killing each other. Jesus' life teaches us to forgive one another. No matter what you think about Jesus, that is Jesus' legacy. So for a follower of Christ, the way of forgiveness is the way our faith goes. Difficult as it may seem, there's no other path with God. Following the example of Christ, in Paul's words, means following in his footsteps of love and forgiveness. At times it might feel like a kind of death, but there's no other way towards resurrection, no other road toward life and love. Of course, that's easier said than done. What about the survivors of neglect or abuse? What about the deep wounds we carry from childhood or adolescence? What about the pain our parents or spouses or pastors or friends have caused us? The hurt we've experienced, the wounds we carry are real, and they need to be acknowledged and embraced. But the other side of that coin is the question of what happens to us if we don't learn to forgive, if we don't allow these wounds the chance to heal. Nelson Mandela is famous for saying that resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die. The path of forgiveness might feel hard or painful, but by every definition in the Bible, forgiveness is a gift not only to the receiver, but the giver also. If we don't forgive, we'll be eaten alive by evil. That doesn't mean we should needlessly put ourselves in harm's way. It doesn't mean we should neglect putting up healthy boundaries with people who will routinely hurt us. It just means that God's given us the gift of doing something with the pain we cause one another. And the gift is forgiveness. Fred Rogers said, "The only thing evil can't stand is forgiveness." So we could say that forgiveness is the antidote to evil. The path of forgiveness is the path for all of us. Our steps might be small, even infrequent at times, but Jesus invites us into those steps nonetheless by his own example. And that's why we must talk about learning to forgive, rather than speaking about forgiveness as something we do all in one shot. Steps will look different for each of us, and I doubt any of us will ever master forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't an end result. It's a way of living in a wounded earth, waiting for heaven's full healing. A professor of mine used to say that grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we deserve. Jesus invites us to be people of grace and mercy. This kind of cross-shaped life, then, is a life of offering. Paul says, "Be like Christ, who offered his life a pleasing aroma." What does forgiveness smell like? Maybe forgiveness smells like a field of wildflowers in a spring rain after a long winter. Maybe forgiveness smells like a well-prepared meal as you walk in the door after a long, tiring journey. The point is, forgiveness smells good because it originates from the same place all good things originate: God's compassionate heart, God's loving character. Learning to forgive one another is God's gift to us, even if it's tough, perhaps especially when it's tough. And learning to forgive is deeply rooted in the second truth emerging from Paul's words. If the first truth is we must learn to forgive like Jesus, the second is that we must always remember our own need of forgiveness. So let's talk about our own need of forgiveness. Paul says, Christ died for us. In other words, we all need forgiveness. Jesus tells a story in Luke's gospel of two men who went to church. One came in and began praying, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, that I've got my whole life together, and that I pray and give money to the poor and even fast during the season of Lent." The other, says Jesus, came in and prayed, "God, I'm backward. Sometimes I don't even know why I do the things I do. Please give me a break, Lord. I'm in need of a lot of grace this week." Then Jesus said, "People who think they're better than other people are sadly mistaken." Well, the story went something like that, as I remember it. You get the point. But there's a little bit of that arrogant prayer voice whispering in all of our ears, isn't there? The voice says, "The problem's with everyone else. You're not so bad compared to those people." If we listen to it, we'll live under the delusion that we don't need forgiveness ourselves. But we do. We need God's forgiveness because we make mistakes every day. We need the forgiveness of others because we step on one another's toes every day. Some days we're stomping on one another's toes quite intentionally. So building on Paul's earlier words, we must learn how to forgive by watching Jesus' example, and we do that by always remembering that we need forgiveness ourselves and receiving it. Sure, we could grade one another, asking who needs more forgiveness and who needs less, but comparison is a killer, and Jesus never points us to what divides us as human beings, but what unites us. And we're united by the reality that we all need forgiveness. We're united by the good news that God gives grace to everyone. That's what the cross is all about. As Ricky shared last week, Jesus didn't die on every hill, just one. Just one hill where forgiveness was taken care of for all of us and all of time. So the cross is where we find the power and the strength to forgive, because the cross is where God swallowed up sin and evil in one gulp. We don't have to absorb the sin of other people. Jesus did that on the cross. We just have to cling on to that splintery cross for dear life, soaking up the grace God gives us every day and offering that same grace to one another. As the saying goes, Christianity is just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. We're all hungry. We all need a healthy meal of grace. When we forgive, we're simply inviting one another to that table to dine with us. So those are two thoughts to take away from our reading today. We've been given the gift, the invitation, of learning how to forgive based on Jesus' example, and we do this by remembering our own need of forgiveness and receiving it. This is the final week of Lent, and some would argue that if Lent is about anything, it's about wrestling with forgiveness. Our four invitations as a church this Lent have been: put something down and pick something up, pray in community, read the story, and don't forget to party. How can we do those things this week with forgiveness in mind? What do we need to put down, to place into God's hands? What resentment or unforgiveness are we carrying? And what do we need to receive, to pick up from God instead? How do we pray together about what we're putting into God's hands and what we're receiving from Him? When can we read the story of Jesus in the Gospels, a story filled with love and grace? And how does that story inspire and soften our hearts so that we can learn to forgive ourselves? What can we do to celebrate the fact that we're forgiven by God, always at the drop of a hat, because of Jesus and His cross? How can we celebrate the freedom we live in when the burden of resentment or unforgiveness is lifted? As we sit together in this very unique Holy Week, thinking of the cross ahead, thinking of the resurrection following, is the story of forgiveness still true? Is grace and selflessness and humility still at work in the world, in your life, in my life? This month, a priest in Italy fell sick with the virus. His parishioners bought him a respirator so he could make a full recovery, but he refused to use the equipment, giving it to a younger patient instead. The priest died because of his sacrifice, and there was no funeral. But reportedly, the residents in the town applauded from their windows and balconies as the coffin made its way to the burial plot in the graveyard. We know grace and humility when we see it. May we see it in the life and death and life again of Jesus this week. And may we see it in one another's lives in the coming weeks.
What can you do with a heavy soul when you can dance but there's no rock and roll? Where can you go if the sun doesn't shine? You sing the words but none of them rhyme. What would I have done? If it wasn't for Jesus. Where do you go when you've lost the keys? When all is dark and you're on your knees? And in a world where it's love betrays, there is a light that will save the day.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. As we enter Holy Week, let me invite you to explore all the ways we can connect together. Let's put our hearts in God's trustworthy hands. Here's a closing prayer as we move into the rest of the week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.